And welcome, everyone, to the RF Sports Radio Show. I'm your host, Rodney Fisher, your co-host, Rodney Fisher, joined, of course, by my co-host, my partner in crime, the man you guys have all come to hear speak, and that's Mr. Royce.
Yeah.
Mr. Royce, how you doing today?
Hey, Rodney, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I guess I owe not just you an apology, but I guess the fans an apology, too. We didn't have a second show last week. Things got in the way, but we're going to get better. We just get back going. I want to thank everyone for tuning in and downloading the last episode. But we're going to get more consistent and make sure we deliver at least two episodes a week. So I guess I can start off by apologizing to you first. Is that the best thing to do?
Well, no, I did that. Things happen, but I'm just tired from staying up late in the next greatest thing. Basketball play last night, Luka Doncic scoring 48 points. So other than that, I'm great. So I'm ready to get it on because the finals was very disappointing to me.
Well, I wish I'd have went back and took out the little excerpt from last week when I said that this was over, that I said that, Milwaukee was going to win. I think you were the one that picked it to go seven games, right? But maybe you should start off and kind of give us your thoughts first.
I would have liked to have seen it go seven games, but apparently it didn't. I knew Milwaukee was going to win because Phoenix didn't play up to their potential, I think. I'm going to put this loss on Monty. I talked about it last week when they lost game five and game six. But they start playing that James Harden ball, and, you know, it's five players on the team. They quit passing the ball. They Chris Paul tried to take over the game. You know, Devin Booker tried to take over the game. And they left all the other guys out. I've never seen a championship won without the participation of all players, all five guys on the court, and even guys off the bench. That was not included in the Suns repertoire.
Well, you put a lot of blame on Monty Williams.
They gave Milwaukee the game.
Okay, but you put a lot of blame. You put a lot of blame on Monty Williams, but let's not forget that we also have to put a little bit on some of the veterans on the team. You know, Chris Paul, Jay Crowder, those guys have been in those. Well, I'm not even going to include Devin Booker in there because it was his first time getting into the playoffs like that. We're having a deep run. But guys that have been there, like Crowder's been there before. He was just there with Miami not too long ago. And then now CP3 is a veteran in the league. And I didn't see him doing a lot of, like, you know, pulling guys in and trying to get the thing together, trying to coach. But they just were overmatched. Like I said, I knew it was going to happen. When they lost game three, I said they figured it out. They cracked the code. I mean, they just were overmatched. And Giannis putting up 50 points, I mean, that was one of the best finals appearances I've ever seen a player have, putting up 50 in a closeout game. I don't think I've ever seen a star player do that. I mean, I've watched the greats play from Kareem all the way up. So I've never seen a guy put up 50 points in a closeout game. That was remarkable to me.
I've never seen a team like the Suns direct traffic up and down the lane like they did. I mean, he had a full four-lane highway to run to the basket on. They did nothing to stop him. They should have watched film on when they played Toronto. Toronto put up a wall. And, you know, the last couple of years, the reason why they got knocked out because they stopped Giannis. They didn't stop Giannis this time. And I want to say this about today's NBA. If I had to pick a team, I would pick a starting five guys that can create their own shot. And you talked about Jay Crowder. No, that's not impossible. Okay. Everybody
in
the NBA
is five guys that can create their own shot. You can't do it.
Rodney, I've seen it before. And let me explain before we get to that. I would get five guys that create shots. There have been guys that can play with their back to the basket, centers that been able to play with their back to the basket. You have forwards that can create their own shot. You had Reggie Miller, which ran around. His job was to shoot threes, but he wasn't stationary. You got guys run down court now just standing in the corner. You mentioned Jay Crowder. He went down. He didn't ask for the ball. He only got the ball when they passed it to him. And how many shots did he take? They go to the corner and stand. I saw Bridges go to the corner and stand. Three or four plays down and never touch the ball. And,
okay.
And that's what drives me nuts about the NBA. You had guys like
okay,
Reggie Miller that moved.
Steph Curry
moves without the ball. And Grant Hill moved without the ball. Guys go now. They go to their spot and just stand there. And they didn't even try to get open.
Okay, but you have yet to tell me to any proof to back up this point you just made about teams having five guys that can create shots. There is not a team I think you can point in history that all five guys on the floor could create their shot.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something. The Milwaukee Bucks had three guys that could create their own shot.
They didn't have five.
How many guys on the Suns can create their own shot besides Booker?
I would argue that the Suns had more guys. I would say they had more guys that could create their shot.
Was the ball in their hands?
Yes, the ball was in their hands. They just chose not to create their shot.
The ball was in their hands.
You can't tell me that CP3, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges, those guys can't create their own shots.
How many shots did Bridges take? How many shots did Crowder take? How many shots did Bridges take?
Well, your point should be that those guys didn't show up for the game.
That's my point. Yeah, but if you don't pass the ball, I can count a lot of times where Booker went down, didn't pass the ball. CP3 used up 20 minutes of the shot clock, and then shoot the ball and never pass the ball. I know you saw that too. They used up 18 seconds of the shot clock. And still nobody else touched the ball, and then get down to 2 or 3 seconds, and you have to shoot the ball. I saw that all night long. I saw that the whole series.
I think the mistake that they made, Monty Williams' biggest mistake, was on the defensive end, not on the offensive end. The fact that he decided that they wanted to lock down Chris Middleton and prevent him from scoring a bunch of points. But then you let Giannis get into the lane. You let Giannis
get loose.
And to his credit, let me give Giannis his credit, though. He delivered. He nailed. He knocked down his free throws. He wasn't scared to put up the ball and get fouled. He really delivered, man. I don't want to take anything away from what he did.
Right. They won fair and square. I'm not taking anything from him. I would like to have seen seven games. That's all I'm saying. I thought it was a great run the whole playoffs. Every series was great. Nobody got swept. And I enjoyed it, and he earned it. He earned that championship. He earned the MVP. I'm not taking anything from him. I'm talking about why the Suns couldn't go to game seven.
Yeah.
Or could have given themselves a better chance to win. That's all I'm saying.
Now that that's been done, I got a couple of questions for you, and I'm just going to fire these off at you. Let's start with Giannis first. Does this start the era of Giannis and the Bucks? Is this how it starts? You think they keep going? They keep repeating?
I don't think so. The West is so strong, and you said it earlier, so many guys were injured. If Kawhi Leonard had played, it would have been a different series. If James Harden had got hurt, Kyrie Irving had got hurt, we might have seen them in the playoffs instead of the Bucks. So I don't think this is the beginning of a dynasty. I think they've been knocking on the door. They finally kicked it in, but I don't think it's going to be a long-lasting dynasty.
Here's why I'll make the counterpoint. And again, you guys are welcome to chime in. Give us a call, 319-527-6059. You can jump in the conversation with us. give us your thoughts. But here's why I'll give you the counterpoint to that. If you really look at the Bucks and the way they're made up and how good Giannis is, now that he's reached the pinnacle, he's tasted the champagne in the locker room, right? After having two MVPs and defensive player of the year, now he's tasted that, right? Let's be honest. He really only has to worry about one team in the East, and it's Brooklyn. All he has to do is make sure that they get past Brooklyn every year, and I guarantee you he can make it to finals after finals, barring any kind of big trades, free agency craziness or whatever. But the only team he has to get past is Brooklyn, and I'm telling you, I don't think Brooklyn can stay healthy or play together, which we have not seen them do at all. So I think if this could start, Giannis being in the finals could be a consistent thing, just like LeBron in the finals was.
You don't think Miami's going to get better? You don't think the Sixers are going to get better? You got other teams that are going to improve in the offseason and the draft and the free agency. So Toronto won the championship. Do you think that was going to be a dynasty?
No, I didn't, yep, because I knew Kawhi wasn't going to stay.
That's the way
none of those teams you named, I think they're all going to get better. Let me just say that. I think they're all going to get better and try to get better some kind of way.
Right.
But the one thing they don't have is they don't have Giannis. And we know how dominant he is in the East. There's only one player in the East I feel like they can match what Giannis can do, and that's KD. KD has the size. KD's a much better player, much better shooter than Giannis. But honestly, that's the only guy that Giannis would have to take a back seat to in the East is KD.
I can name three guys in the East that can give you 50 points any night. Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum.
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Giannis
had a great performance, but I've seen Giannis fail a lot of times too. I'm not saying it's going to be a dynasty. I don't think so. Time will tell, but I think Miami's going to get better. I think the Celtics are going to get better, and I don't think they're going to run through the East like they did this year. Like I said, there's a lot of injuries, a lot of guys out, a lot of guys hurt. If this could have been a whole different series, the Suns and the Bucks would not have been there had it not been for injuries. You said that yourself. You're exactly.
I did. But
okay.
I think he's tasted the champagne, Royce. I think he's hooked. He knows what he's doing. He stayed in the East for a reason. He knows what he
wanted
to do.
Your team, the Mavericks, tasted the champagne 2011. Did they come back the next year? Did they come back the next year?
Yeah, but this team is coming back pretty much intact. I would say the main people are going to still be there. So
I'm going to do a charge box here. I guarantee the Milwaukee Bucks will not win the championship next year. Guaranteed.
Will they make it to the finals? I think they'll make it
now
to the finals.
You said they take championship. It's a dynasty.
Yeah, but I'm saying they will make it to the finals next year. I think they get past Brooklyn. Something's going to happen. Somebody get hurt. Something's going to happen in Brooklyn where they're going to make it again a consecutive year. I really see that happening.
I guarantee. The Milwaukee Bucks.
Let me ask you about the flip side of that coin, because we know how these things have ripple effects across the league. Let me ask you about CP3. Does he stay in Phoenix after he's taken the Phoenix Suns all the way to the finals to a 2-0 lead? And people overlooked the job we did in Oklahoma City the year before, taking that team to the playoffs. Does he stay in Phoenix, or does he try to move around and join another team?
I think he's better off staying in Phoenix. You know, you started something there. You might as well keep it going. And the only place that I think he should go or even consider going is maybe to the Lakers. Anything other than that, I wouldn't leave.
I can't believe you said that. The L word.
Well, I'm just saying, I hear rumors. The Lakers are considering Chris Paul, and they need a floor general. That's all I'm saying. I hear rumors. But
butting heads. I can imagine CP3 and LeBron yelling at each other.
Well, they buddies. When LeBron
them.
At the game.
There's no way you can coach that team.
When LeBron at the game, well, LeBron is the coach of the team anyway.
Right.
Okay.
But while we on, go ahead. Let me cut you off.
AD and Chris Paul, I think that'll work. He can get mad at himself all day long.
They never played together in New Orleans, right?
No, I think he already left when AD got there. But he can get mad at hoops all day long.
All day long. That's true. I think that would be a good look. I mean, that'd be good for the West, and that would allow Devin Booker to
Why not stay in Phoenix? You got a good rapport with the team. The team look up to you. You know, you're a leader of the team. And, you know, they had the second best record in the West.
Yeah, but it's hard to come back after you've been in the league that long. You've been up 2-0. It's hard to come back.
At least
man.
You can make the playoffs. You make the playoffs, you give your team a chance.
Yeah, you could.
Give your team a chance.
That team's going to be good. Right. That's a good young team.
Right.
I agree with you on that. But while we're talking about rumors and speculation and talk with, you know, we hear things from different sources. Let me ask you a little bit about this Kawhi Leonard deal that, you know, it came out a few days ago. Our buddy Marcus Spears came out and said that, you know, Kawhi staying in L.A. is not a sure thing, which doesn't seem like news, but it really is news, especially when you hear that our local team here, the Mavericks, are big, heavy suitors in trying to get Kawhi Leonard out of L.A., and in the Dallas. So I just want to touch on it real quick. What do you think about that?
It'd be great for Dallas, but I think Kawhi is such a strange creature. Who knows what he's going to do? And he may stay in L.A. to prove something. You remember the commercial he made when he came to L.A.? He was taking over the town, and he's the new king in town.
Right.
He didn't get a chance to prove that. I think he still wants to prove that he... You know,
yeah.
You got to live up to the hype. You got to live up. And they were close. That's a good team.
The crazy thing is I don't know how that dynamic is going to work, because I remember how Luka, you know, how the Kristaps and Luka thing worked out, where Kristaps missed so much time, was hurt a lot.
Right.
I mean, let's be honest, if Kawhi, whatever team Kawhi plays for, he's going to miss 30 games in the regular season. You know what I mean?
Maybe the whole season.
Yeah, and then come back in the playoffs. I mean, is that something that you think that a new head coach and Jason Kidd and the Mavs fans and Mark Cuban can handle having a guy that may not play the entire regular season, just comes back in the playoffs, but when he comes back, he's Kawhi Leonard, you know?
Well, they had words. The more of them. You other second name.
I didn't put you and Lamar Odom in the same sentence. That was Royce that
Parsons,
did that. So
Chandler Parsons,
that was me.
Dave Edwards, Delonte West. You want me to keep naming? I can go on and on.
Well, you mentioned that you watched a good game last night with a Maverick player, Luka Doncic, put up 48 in a Olympic debut. I don't know how I feel about
killing him over there.
He played Argentina. You know, Argentina is the one team that the USA team has beat so far in international play. I mean, they lost their first game. So the only thing they really beat and blew out was Argentina. So for Luka to put up 48 on Argentina, I didn't see the game like you did, but I saw the highlights. I mean, a lot of the times he was the biggest guy out there on the floor.
No,
you know,
come on, Roddy. Come on, Roddy.
The guys are regarding him with my size, man. It wasn't no NBA talent out there guarding him.
Right. Come on, man. We talking about international
play.
The rules are different. The referees don't give you nothing because you're a star. I mean, come on, Rodney, it's different. He's been playing with those guys. Since he was 15.
I realize that, but you think he played in real competition?
I think he knows how to play that style. Okay, United States is having trouble playing this style of basketball. But Luka has no problem because he's played that. That's where he come from. So it's probably easier for him playing in the Olympics than it is playing in the NBA. You saw how frustrated he got. The refs wouldn't give him calls. The refs weren't calling stuff. And over there, I think he had 3 fouls the whole day. I only think he had 3 fouls. He went to the line a lot.
He can go 48 in the NBA game. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, he's got talent. He can put a 48 in the NBA game. I get that. But my point is he didn't really play nobody, man.
United States lost to Nigeria, Rodney. They lost to Nigeria.
I know that. Nigeria is a better team than Argentina.
A third world country, Argentina. Not a third world country. The United States lost to Nigeria. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah.
What happened there?
Nigeria is a better team than Argentina.
Every team over there to compete. Just stop taking something away from me.
Argentina may be the worst team in international the Olympics right now. They may be the worst. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I gotta say, you better hope the United States can beat them because they can't seem to beat nobody else.
Well, so what do you make of that, man? This is gonna go down as KD's team. If it's gonna go down as Durant's team, you know what I mean? If they lose, they already lost. If they don't win gold, it's going to go down as Durant's team that lost in the Olympics.
Well, I'm not going to put it on Durant. There are a lot of superstars over there.
Yeah, but he's the best player on the team,
Roy. Michael Jordan didn't win it by himself, did he?
But Mike was the best player on the
team.
They didn't lose
team.
The game.
When they won the game, it was the dream team, right? It wasn't Michael Jordan team. It was the dream team.
Well, one thing is obvious. If for anyone that's been stuck under the rock, one thing is obvious. When you watch the Olympics, like when I was watching, and not just basketball, Roy, it's like any other sport I've watched. I watched swimming the other day. I watched skateboarding, which was the first time they've been in the Olympics. I've been watching it. The world has definitely caught up and sometimes surpassed the United States. I mean, I'm telling you, the competition is so tough and so even across the board. Even when we had competition in the past, it was like, well, we maybe compete against this country. Maybe it was Russia or Germany or, man, it's so much talent across the world now. It's amazing. You know what I mean? I was thinking like today, like, what if Luka, Royce, what if he wins a gold medal in the Olympics? What if he leads his team to win a gold medal? I mean, will he then literally be the best player in the world? I mean, think about it. I mean, it's so much competition in the Olympics. I mean, everywhere. It's like, I mean, that is a competition for the best in the world. That's what the Olympics are, right?
Well, you can make a case for both. You can make a case for Giannis being the best player in the world by winning the NBA championship, you know, so. But piggybacking on what you said, you say how competitive they are, but you just knocked Luka for being Argentina. You said
Argentina's
so much...
not a good team. I'm sorry. Argentina's not a good team.
Okay. I'm just kidding with you right now. I just want to put you there.
But not a good team,
right,
man.
You're absolutely right. And then, being the COVID and the game's been pushed back a year, you know, and I'm pretty sure that you know, they mess with a lot of athletes' psyche, you know, and development, you know, and half of them probably don't want to be there, or, you know, with the outbreak. so much going on and isolation, no fans. You know, it's kind of like fan in the bubble.
Right.
So I think anybody can win in the Olympics today. Simply for that reason. You know, you may have guys going out, sick protocol, so it's really anybody's game.
Yeah. Have you watched
other
than the game last night, did you watch, have you watched any other events so far?
Yes, I have. I watched water polo. I watched the
isn't it like the only time you watch all those
three-on-three
like Olympics? I mean,
basketball. Yeah, 3-on-3 water basketball. I watched kayaking. I watched that the other day.
The best thing I like about the Olympics is, especially when it's international, is it's late night TV. It's like when you need something to watch, the NBA is over with. There's no football. It's perfect to have the Olympics on late at night, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning.
And
skateboarding. Watching these different events. Yeah. Skateboarding was nice. There were like 13, 14-year-olds out there skating.
Absolutely. And some 17-year-olds.
Yeah. It was something
else. All right.
I think overall, I like the Olympics. I like the time of the year when it comes around. It's a great push for the summer to have it. Especially, like I said, late night or whatever the case may be.
But don't you feel like it's something missing? You know,
yeah,
no fans, you know.
Fans are missing.
And then the ceremony at the end, you know.
Right.
Yeah, so it's kind of strange. I did watch cycling, too, the other day. That was good. God damn, they didn't feel. But I'm enjoying it. Like I said, since the NBA Finals are not there, it's something to take us into football, take us into the draft. You know, so, you know, instead of having that dead time in between there, nothing to do, because this is like every 4 years, well, 5 years now, but we had that.
Right.
It'd be all about baseball be the only thing you can watch. And I don't like baseball until they get to the playoffs.
Right. But speaking of other sports getting started up, as we discussed last week, make sure you guys can call in still. Someone just called in but hung up. 319-527-6059. Feel free to call in, join the conversation. But you mentioned NFL and football getting started up. We talked a little bit about Hard Knocks and my Cowboys and whatnot. But I want to touch on just a bigger issue. We talked about COVID and what it's done. I'm asking you, what do you think about this NFL rule where, if you guys don't know, if your team, player on your team has a, if you lose some players because of COVID or outbreak or whatever, and you can't play a game, then you have to forfeit that game, take the L, and also reimburse the team that was traveling to come see you or whatever the case may be. It's putting a lot of pressure on guys to get vaccinated or to at least give their status on what they've been vaccinated. We've heard reporters ask. I want to know what you think about overall about that rule and what that can mean for this season. Because I feel like it's going to happen this season. You know, somewhere down the line, it's going to happen.
First off, I'm a strong advocate for people getting the vaccine. That's just me, period. And I understand people have a right to choose their bodies, but you shouldn't have the right to get anybody else sick. That's why I feel. And, you know, all the coaches have to have it, all the personnel.
Yeah, coaches have to have it.
Team
had some
to
coaches
have
get
it.
Fired
personnel with the team.
Last week.
Yeah, personnel with the team. And it's a safety protocol. You know, I don't know what the problem is. You take a physical before you start the season. And that's a violation of your body because they can find something wrong with you and, you know, you're not playing.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So what's the difference in getting a shot to guarantee your safety and the guy you're playing across from, your teammates, the locker room, your family, you know, and everybody else. So, you know, it's hard for me to be biased about that. I'm a strong advocate for people getting the vaccine.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you 100% on it. I agree. Here's the thing, you know, guys complain about that, but again, you got to realize you work for the NFL, you know,
Absolutely.
You work for the NFL. So you have to be subject to those, those rules, right? I mean, that's just the way it go. And then personally, I'm like you. I would want to do anything I can to protect myself and also protect the people around me, family, kids, relatives. Right. You're going to be out there playing football, not in the bubble.
You know how locker rooms are.
You got to
protect
yourself.
You know how locker rooms are.
Yeah.
You know how locker rooms are, plane rides, and especially on the field, hand-to-hand combat, being stepped on, tackle on, spit on.
Right.
You know, they do it all, you know, laying on top of each other and raising on each other.
Right.
The work, you know, you send yourself up, you know, to me. So I don't have a problem with it. They probably will implement that. But like I say, if you work for an employee, you have to do what the employee says, basically.
That's right.
Your job.
Yeah.
So,
right.
That's how it works.
I'm just waiting for that first story to break, you know, when you have a quarterback, a running back, a big-time wide receiver, a key person out of a game, possibly getting a forfeit. I mean, that's something if you're trying to make a career in the NFL, you don't want that on your career. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Guys are not going to respect you. Coaches are not going to respect you. Fans are going to look down on you. You don't want that issue whatsoever.
You're going to have advocates on both sides. You're going to have guys cheering the guys that don't get it. You know, you have people that booing the guys that don't get it. You know, you're going to have advocates on both sides. But this is my personal opinion. And for the safety of everybody else, you know, I say get the shot, man. I mean, it's nothing hard. Everybody got vaccine before they went to school, so what's the big deal?
Right. No doubt, man. I agree with you 100%. 100%. We agree on something today.
Let's talk about the biggest news of the night. The Oklahoma State Cowboys and Texas Longhorns.
The OU Sooners and the not Oklahoma State, but OU and Texas going to the SEC, or at least planning to, you know, giving everybody notice that they're not going to renew their Big 12 membership after 2025, going to the SEC, the kind of super conference. The SEC now is going to have, if it stays the same, it'll have 14 teams. Big 12 never really had 12 teams, only had 10. So now they're going to go down to 8. And just like I thought would happen, you know, especially here in Texas, all the other guys are complaining and legislators are getting involved, the Texas House is getting involved because they support their alma maters. You got Texas Tech, you got even A&M, you know, upset about the move or the possible move because, to me, they get affected the worst because let's not forget, when A&M went to the SEC, I mean, that really made A&M a super top program because the Texas kids in recruiting, if you wanted to play SEC ball, all you had
to
do
stay
was
right in Texas.
College Station, that's all you had to do. But now with Texas and OU involved, to me the Big 12 is dead. I mean, I think there'll be more things to happen, but I think this is inevitable to happen because when you got players now, you heard Nick Saban say one of his quarterbacks, once he named them the starter, got almost $1 million in sponsorships already. Hasn't even taken a snap yet.
We got money like that
happening in college sports. You have got to do everything as a athletic department to stay on top, to make sure you're getting all the TV money, all the visibility, all the opportunity to play the big games. If you don't have that, a guy's got too many options, Royce, to just say, okay, I'm going to go to Baylor versus UT. Or I'm going to go to Oklahoma State versus OU. You got to do everything you can to get that top recruit now.
Yeah,
too much money
at
stake. There's even more money at stake now.
I agree with you, and I think, you know, it's a good move for both schools. You know, the SEC is what's going on now. It's always been one of the top ones. But what I see is the collapse of the NCAA.
That's what I think is coming on.
I think that's what's happening. It's going to break up. I think it's going to be just like the East and the West and North and South. I think it's going to be four divisions. And I think that's what it's going to come to be. But I like to see that happen. I think the NCAA is make a big jump, allowing athletes to profit off themselves, and that's going to change the whole landscape of college football and college sports.
Yeah.
I mean, from here on out.
But I guarantee what the Big 12 is going to do, though. They're going to add SMU, like they have been talking about for a little while. They're going to add SMU, and they're going to add Tulsa. You know, Tulsa's already had a really good program. They've always been tough. I think they add them so that way they have a kind of like a Dallas
like
market and an Oklahoma market.
Schools.
Yeah, that would be cool,
too. I think
that'd
be great.
That'd be cool, too.
I think they need to integrate them to HBCU schools. That way to come from
that's a great idea.
Not can't afford to a big school, but have a chance to play on a big stage, you know. So I think they need to pull some of those.
I mean, without a realignment, it could create that opportunity. But I wonder if the HBCU, they don't really care about the conference as much as they care about the classics. They make money off of those classics, State Fair Classic, Bayou
Classic.
That's where they make their money, those rivalries.
They could still have the classic, you know, once a year. You know, preseason you know, whatever. Sometimes during the year, during the holidays, certain bowl games could be HBCU schools. But I would love to see that. You know, it'd be great for the thing, but I think NCAA is on the way out. I think it's the craft of the NCAA.
You're right.
All these old guys running the program, it's going to be crazy. You know, we already see guys playing basketball, leaving, you know, early, going overseas to play.
Right.
The whole landscape has changed, you know.
Yeah, it has. It's changed a lot. But that's a developing story we'll definitely keep our eyes on. Before we wrap up the show and everything, what else is on your mind today, Royce? What else you want to cover?
Yo, Cowboys, oh, my goodness. See, I got to watch them all preseason.
Yeah.
And do you think that should play
it's going to make good radio. I think you should not play not one down of preseason. Not one series, not one snap, nothing in the preseason. Absolutely.
Well,
him last year going 6-10, no, he's not going to play not one down in the preseason.
Okay, let me counter your argument. He should play the last preseason game that he's had. Because your first game is against who?
Yeah, it's fine. It's against Tampa Bay.
Do you think Tom Brady is going to play preseason?
No.
Absolutely not. I got two guarantees tonight. I guarantee you Tom Brady would take some snaps in preseason.
No.
That's the kind of guy
remember the season's longer. It's 18 weeks now. It's 17 games. It's 18 weeks. So it's 18 games in this season, right? In the 18 games this season, it's the longest season.
17.
It's 17 games.
It's 17 games. Yeah, 17
games.
Okay,
it was 18 weeks. So
you don't take that being out of year. Shouldn't take any snaps under center.
Not one. No, not one snap.
So you'd rather go out against Tampa. You would rather see him go out against Tampa.
It's only three preseason games.
Well, he should play at least a couple of downs.
No. Absolutely not.
Brandon, walk through practice and playing practice is not the same as full action on sport.
I agree.
And I guarantee Tom Brady will play some snaps in preseason. I guarantee you.
I disagree. I don't think there's going to be many quarterbacks that play any preseason game. I don't see him playing. I don't see Mahomes playing, who had, you know, surgery in the offseason. I don't see any of those guys taking a chance on a preseason game, losing a quarterback for when you got 18 weeks in the season. No.
Well, you can lose your quarterback the first game. Guys' reactions are slow. They get hurt. They drop back to pass. They get hit. I mean, at some point you're gonna get hit. At some point you gotta play. So why not play a couple of snaps in preseason so you kind of get your legs up under you?
I don't think it's that serious, man. Okay. I don't think that. I'd rather lose them in the first game than lose them in the preseason.
I don't want to see any quarterback going out in the first game. Then you got 16 weeks of misery.
Imagine if you left them in the...
Let's say play the whole game. Take some snaps, Rodney. Throw a pass. Drop back. Hand the ball off. I mean, what's wrong with handing the ball off?
Ain't nothing wrong with that, but all it takes is one bad step,
one lineman step on your foot.
One guy trying to make the team, diving at your knees. I mean, it could be anything could happen.
Rodney, you can hand the ball off three times and punt. That's all I'm saying. You're not going to convince me otherwise, man.
I'm sorry. Try to throw an
80-yard pass or try to run for a first down. Get the feel of the game. Take three snaps, hand the ball off. Breaking news. Steven Adams is going to...
Oh, really?
Bledsoe.
Okay.
Steven Adams and Bledsoe is going to Memphis. Boy, it's going to be great for Memphis. They get a big man in the middle.
I'm not seeing that here. Steven Adams.
And
Bledsoe. I see it here. I see...
Bledsoe, maybe he's going to Memphis. That's a good pickup for Memphis. Two veteran players.
That's okay. That makes them
a little bit better. You know.
That's okay.
Make them
I mean, they're only going to go as far as
Morant.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a good young team.
We'll see.
You know, you can't be stagnant. In the NBA, no team can be safe.
No, of course not. I just want to see what the Mavs going to do. I want to see what we got a Nike executive. We got Jay Kidd. We got Mark Cuban. I want to see what they're going to do. All eyes are on them this offseason. This whole offseason is about what the Mavs going to do, period. That's what everybody needs to be focused on, what they're going to do.
And your boy Kyle Lowry signed with Miami.
Yeah, that's fine.
So do you think that's going to make Miami better?
They're going to be okay.
Okay.
They're going to be okay.
Who would you like to see the Mavs get? That's just ending on that.
I would like to see them get better. That's what I like to see them get. I just want to see them get better.
Who would make them better? That's the question. Who will make them better?
Man, it's a lot of guys out there that will make them better.
I think Jalen Brunson is going to be traded. I wouldn't bring him back. But he'll be a great fit for Memphis. I mean, for Phoenix.
Yeah.
Big fit. Who would you take?
Man, I don't know. That's a good question. I got to think about that. I know who I don't want. I don't want Ben Simmons. I don't want CP3. There's a couple of guys I just don't want to see here. But I think they go. I think you've got me to believe they're going to go for a point guard. I think that they're going to try to find somebody that can handle the ball and get out of Luka's hands a little bit. Either that or they're going to go all in on Luka playing point guard. And try to surround him with shooters, you know, guys that can put up shots or create their own shot. They got to go one way or the other. I'm just curious to see which way they go.
If I was Jason Kidd, if I was Mark Cuban, I'd go after Bradley Beal.
Yeah, I've been hearing rumors about Bradley Beal and the Lakers.
Bradley Beal would go perfect perfect.
I've been hearing about DeMar DeRozan going to the Lakers, Bradley Beal going to the Lakers, CP3. So
listen,
we'll see. They're going to get somebody.
Nobody. Lakers can have every one of them and still want to be better. You know, LeBron got to have his super team. And
yeah, of course.
Yeah, Johnny.
Guys want to
prove you don't need
play
a
with
super
LeBron,
team.
Man.
You just prove.
Guys
well,
want to play with
prove
him.
You don't, Giannis just proved you don't need a super team.
Man, that's a super team, boys. Come on now. Him, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, Robin Lopez. That's a well put together team with three stars.
Giannis is the only superstar MVP player on that team.
But they have three all stars on that team.
Okay.
They got three all stars on that team, Royce.
But three
all stars.
Okay. But every year they ain't got to get the best players to come play with them.
How many all stars we have on our team? How many all stars the Mavs got? One. So they can add two all stars, or you can make
one
all star and add one other player.
Well, who you talking about? Everybody going to L.A. You talking about everybody going to L.A. Who do you want in Dallas?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't want to put myself in a box.
And why would you want to go to L.A. and play 1 or 2 years with LeBron? You could come to Dallas and play 5, 6 years with Luka.
Hey, that's not an automatic.
What?
5 or 6 years with Luka, that's not an automatic thing.
The Lakers are automatically going to win a championship, another one. That's not automatic. What happened to this year?
I think guys would still rather play with LeBron and AD at the Lakers than play with Luka. But do you think that it's changed to where guys would rather go to play with Luka than play with LeBron?
I think guys would rather go other places than live with that drama in L.A. You go to L.A., you're going to be under the microscope. If you lose, you're going to be known as the guy that couldn't get it done with LeBron. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of weight on you, man. That's why none of the other guys last year went to L.A. Kawhi didn't go. Paul George didn't go. James Harden didn't go. None of those guys went to L.A. They don't want to play in L.A., man. The taxes, the fires. I mean, look at the taxes alone.
I think guys would rather play with LeBron in L.A. than still play with Luka and the Mavs. This is my opinion. I could be wrong, but I strongly think that guys still would rather go there.
Look at Texas,
sure.
No state income tax. Mark Cuban, a great owner.
There's a lot of good things you like. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
There's a lot of good things you like. I'm not saying it's not.
Okay, name the top three desired destinations you think a player would want to go.
Top three is going to be L.A. L.A.'s number one. I honestly think that New York would be number two. And I would say that Miami's number three. The top three places a player would want to go play, that would be my top three. Then after that it's kind of like pulling straws after that. But those are always be the top three markets in the NBA for a player to go play, no matter what.
You
New York,
go
LA and Miami.
Okay.
You said what now?
I go for you. You think guys don't want to go play with Giannis, huh?
No. It's Milwaukee. It's still Milwaukee.
It's still Milwaukee, man.
It's still
and they
Milwaukee.
Are the champions.
I know it's Giannis, but it's still Milwaukee.
They are the champions. Okay. But LA will not win another championship. Guaranteed.
Okay. We'll see. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Make sure you guys follow us on the webpage, click all the links. Then, of course, tune in next week. We'll be back with another episode. for myself and Royce, we'll see you guys next week.
Have a good one, Rodney.